Welcome to the podcast Design Your Success, the podcast that bridges the gap between human design and business. Every episode shares the inspiring story of a business owner who is real, raw, and honest. Hi, you guys. Welcome to another episode of the Design Your Success podcast. My name is Nicolina Huizinga. I'm your host. And today I am interviewing a wonderful person, and I'm really thrilled that she's here. It's Jen Corcoran. Welcome, Jen.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm really excited for this.
Yes, so am I. So am I. So please introduce yourself to our listeners.
So hi, everyone. I'm Jen Corcoran, and I'm a LinkedIn consultant and trainer, and I primarily help sensitive, introverted, and empathic female entrepreneurs with their lead gen, because as we're going to be chatting about today, we're all different, our energies are different. So I have my clients to feel in flow as opposed to doing things that feel forced for them.
I love that. I love it that you do that, because we're on the same track when it comes to that, because I deeply believe that, you know, we are all different, and I know we're all different.
Yeah.
And we should use the systems that we have at our disposal. We should use them according to how we are wired and not the other way around.
Yeah, I think quite often we hear so much advice from different personality types, and we try to take the action, but it won't connect for a lot of us, because we're totally different.
Yeah.
Makeup and energetically, and we're just not wired to do the same thing. So I think, yeah, you really need to figure out who you are. It's been quite the journey for me.
Yeah. So what you want to tell a bit about that? So how did you become an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I'm very much an accidental entrepreneur. This was never in the cards for me. This is never something I wanted to do. And I think if you spoke to, like, I'm 6 years in business, but if you spoke to me 7 years ago and said you're going to be running a business, I would have had a panic attack. I would have thought, oh my God, I can't do that. That's not for me. So what happened really was I ended up having back surgery. I just got burnt out in my job in corporate, and I had time to think, a bit like COVID and the pandemic. So I was literally flat on my back for 30 days after my back operation. So it was a bit of a midlife crisis moment. What am I doing in my life? Where am I going? I was good at my job, but I didn't love it. And I was already using social media and LinkedIn in a voluntary role. And I loved it as a hobby, really, because I'm an introvert, and it just helped me to get my voice in the room. I worked in banking and finance, and was pretty much the only woman in my team. So I was surrounded by a lot of masculine energy and a lot of extroverts. So it was very hard for me to cut through. And then I discovered LinkedIn, and I was like, oh, this is my happy place. So I think, yeah, lying on my back, what am I doing? And I just decided to quit my job. That was the first decision. And I kind of built up to that. And when I quit, I'd love to say again, I knew what I was going to do. I didn't. Very much a trial and error. But I thought, you know what? Let's just do some study leave. Let's do a few courses. I love learning. Let's just see what happens. So I did that for a few months. And then I was like, shit, I've got a bit of a gap on my CV now. What am I going to say I was doing? So I was like, okay, let's say you're a virtual assistant. Let's say this is what you've been doing, social media. Let's build the website. So it's a completely ridiculous story, really. So built the website, got like a whole photo shoot, picked my brand, picked my name, no substance behind it. And then launched it. Everyone's like, oh, it looks amazing. So I'm quite good at personal branding and positioning. And then I was like, oh, is this what I am now? And then I actually got my first few clients by accident. And then I was suddenly a virtual assistant. And then I did that for a few months. And I was like, actually, I don't enjoy this. This is what I was doing when I burnt out. I actually like teaching people what to do. So I kind of transitioned from a social media manager to a social media trainer, and then a consultant. And then eventually, after going all around the houses, and you'll get this as a fellow 1-3, I was like, LinkedIn is a sweet spot, and this is the one thing I want to do. And I think I knew it from the start, but I had that imposter syndrome of who am I to say I'm a LinkedIn expert? So I feel I have to do all the things, earn my stripes. And then eventually it was like, this is what I am. Then I put a bit of substance into my brand, figured out what are my values, who am I, what do I stand for, what does my company stand for, where does it all fit in? And then the magic started to happen. But basically the first year of my business was a front.
Oh my goodness, it's so relatable when it comes to the one and the three in your human design profile, because this is all about experimenting, trying, testing, and well, trying to get as much information and knowledge as possible, and having doubts about, oh, do I have enough in order to serve my clients? Yeah, I love that. I love that. So that's really been quite a journey. Only 6 years ago, when you started. Oh, wow. Wow. So how did you choose LinkedIn? Because you had other social media platforms as well. Why LinkedIn?
I think it was just the one that I felt the most at home on, the most comfortable. The fact that it was also like an online network. So it was a bit more for me than, you know, Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. They were basically places where you followed people and you didn't really get that full kind of connection. And I think I first started using it when I was in the corporate world and I just loved it. I wasn't looking for a new job or anything. I just wanted to do my job better. So I loved connecting with like peers around the world, colleagues around the world, suppliers, trainers, anyone I found interesting. And I think pretty early on, I realized, wow, the power of this, it's amazing. I just generated so many opportunities for me in my job, promotion, salary increase, just by reaching out and connecting with people. And likewise, you know, just helping each other, especially with the peers. So at the time I was a personal assistant in London. I just moved over from Dublin and I didn't really know London at all. London's a big place.
Yeah.
So it was great to be able to reach out to other PAs and say, hey, where's a nice hotel in whatever area, Marylebone, whatever area of London. And likewise, when I started connecting with peers around the world, because my team, they were constantly traveling, they were all sales guys, you know, I could connect with like a PA over in Holland or in Germany. And if there was ever any kind of conference on and you couldn't get in, the PAs always were like the gatekeepers, you know, they would always like know where to go, where to book. So just created this lovely community and we like empowered each other and helped each other. And I just thought, like this is the one that people overthink the most as well. And I think it's the one where I can help them because I did training pretty early on. I had that imposter syndrome when I arrived on LinkedIn, like everyone, like, what am I doing? Who is this? There's all men in suits. Is this for me? Like, I don't know if I'm like senior enough, like, you know, how do I use it? But I did training pretty quickly, being a one tree. you need the knowledge. And then I was like, I know how to use it now, like on a technical level. And I get like the positioning and I just kind of took to it like a duck, you know, on water. But most people don't do that. And I think they expect to be able to do it for free as well. No, you can't learn everything for free. And I think it's that kind of myth about social media in general that, you know, teenagers can do it, kids can do it, that I should be able to do. And it's like, well, LinkedIn marketing and relationship building is not built in everybody. And I love teaching people how to use it for them because it's such a great platform if you know how to lean in. And look at us, we're now on a podcast together.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure I found you first on LinkedIn and then got an email.
Yes, I know. Yeah, I know we did. I know we connected on LinkedIn first. And then, well, here we are having this wonderful conversation. Yeah, I absolutely love that. That it's so what you did, basically, is what you followed your design and you looked at the stuff that really lit you up. Like, but I love this platform. This is where I want to be. Instead of trying, to be an omnipresent person.
And I did that. And that was exhausting. Like my first 2 years in business, I was a LinkedIn trainer. And then I was also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And personally, I was also on Pinterest. I was just like, this It's too much, you know, and I think we can often feel compelled to be everywhere. And to be honest, the same people I was connected on LinkedIn, I was following them on Insta, and you know, I was following their Facebook page, and it was just like overkill. I didn't really need to do it. And I think the pandemic came along and I was just like, sod it, I want to really streamline and simplify. And I debated for a few months, will I delete them, will I not? Because I was actually an accredited Facebook trainer. There was only like 24 of us in the UK. So I know I had the guilt of, oh, I'm a Shimi's business trainer and I'm helping business owners. And that, but then deep down I was like, but it's not my joy. So when I deleted them, it was an instant relief. Because you know, you just still lots to do. There's still like our
Of
website, our email
course.
marketing. It's like, you know, social media is only one part of it. But yeah, I gave myself permission to make it a bit easier.
Excellent, excellent. And that's the whole thing, right? That we may give ourselves permission to make life easier. And it's, I think it's such a brave choice as well that you deleted the other stuff and really followed the LinkedIn path. I always recommend people when they are starting out on social media, like, oh, and they always ask, oh, where should I start? Which platforms should I do? Like, you know, pick one. Either one, pick one and go with that for 2 or 3 months and see what happens. Because it doesn't make any sense to try to spread yourself thin on every each and every platform and try to be there because it's exhausting and it doesn't bring anything. So it's much better to focus on just one platform and absolutely rock that one than trying to be omnipresent and ending up serving no one. That's
Exactly. And then you're kind of resentful of your time. And, you know, I didn't feel like Instagram was for me. It just, and it's a great platform. It's especially amazing if you've got good visuals, if you're like a photographer or you're young and gorgeous. But it was kind of like, there's not that many sexy images I can put up of me doing LinkedIn consultancy. And it was kind of like, do you know what? This really probably isn't for me. But I think, yeah, like you hear all the hype and you think, oh, I must be, I need to be on that. And then TikTok came and I was like, forget it. So I'm just saying, you just go deep. But you know, I explore the others and I have a general like overview of them, but I'm like, I don't miss them.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. I don't know about you, but when I saw, and I think that trend started on Instagram, where we saw those dancing entrepreneurs, you know, dancing and pointing, and then you can see some text and some music. And the moment I saw that, I was like, there is no way I'm going to be doing that.
Reels, isn't it? It's like anything like that, or even like little TikTok videos like that. That would just give me palpitations.
It's not for me. That's definitely, I am on Instagram, I am on Facebook, and I am on LinkedIn. Those are my three main platforms. I'm not on TikTok. And no matter what everyone says, yeah, but TikTok is great. No, it's not. I don't feel it. It doesn't light me up. And as you know, as generators, you and I, we need to do what lights us up, right?
Yeah,
That's
exactly. And
absolutely
dancing
important.
in public like that on video, there's not, I'd have to have a few drinks in me. Even then, I probably wouldn't do it. It's, and I would never be consistent, so there's no point. It's like something, I know there's a lot of, you know, hype about video is always the best thing to do, and it is good, but I just think if it's not your natural thing, you're never going to be super consistent. So if you prefer like a podcast or you prefer written, it's like stay in your lane because you'll just enjoy it so much more and you'll be consistent.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, this thing that I'm doing now with the podcast, last week I had four interviews on one day. And before I started, I was like, ooh, perhaps it's a bit much, four interviews in one day. But by the end of the fourth interview, I was bursting with energy. I was like, oh my goodness, I love this. I could do this every day, all day. And it's so much fun. It's so wonderful to speak to wonderful entrepreneurs who share their knowledge and their wisdom and their great stories. So it's what you said, you know, it's so important that we do what lights us up and what makes us happy. So yeah, I'm all for that. And that's, you know, that's all about human design, that we really need to be aligned to who we really are. And that's why I love what you do with your LinkedIn coaching training for sensitive people, for highly sensitive people, for introverts, etc. So how did you get to that target audience?
I think I am that target audience, basically. And I think when I first started in business, you know, you kind of pick a niche and you go for it, but I didn't give it long enough, and they were like pretty much my initial target audience. And then I tried it for a few months and I was like, nah, and then I moved on to another, and I've kind of come back full circle. And I think I've got to the stage of, I love working in particular with like empaths. It just fills me like with joy, and we're just on the same level when I get on the calls. And when I do calls with like fellow empaths, I don't feel drained. Like you, I could do a few calls and I'd still have energy, but I was getting on with various clients who were not filling me with joy, and I was like, I really need to call out my people again, because I just want a simpler life, a nicer life, and actually they're the ones who probably need the most help. And I want to fast track them and save them from doing all the things that we do as a 1-3 and do everything, because I've tested all the ways, the introverted way, the extroverted way, the empath way, the non-sensitive way. I know them all. So I'm like, I know how to fast track these people so they don't get overwhelmed and burnt out and you know have to like do everything themselves for ages. So yeah, I just, probably the pandemic as well was a bit of a trigger, and I was thinking, I was getting a little bit bored of my LinkedIn home feed, and that's not like me, because I love LinkedIn. And I was like, oh, and then I realized, do you know what it is? I'm not seeing enough empaths and sensitive people. So I started using the search bar and putting in hashtag introvert, hashtag empath, hashtag highly sensitive. And then I started to connect with more people like yourself, like doing human design. I wasn't seeing any of that on my feed, you know? So it was an interesting feed, but it was mainly sales and marketing, and I was missing that kind of, you know, that spiritual side of me. So, and then I started connecting with loads of lovely therapists and finding people who did human design, because I first started geeking out on it in the pandemic, and I was like, oh, now my feed feels like interesting, like my personal magazine. And now I'm seeing the nice mix of everything I want to see. So yeah, that just kind of convinced me that this is what I want, and just lean into the joy. So unlike you, I'm not like a human design expert. I'm a human design nerd and fan, and I have a very basic knowledge of it.
That's great.
I just love it. But I like you, obviously, you are the absolute expert. So I can do like tiny mini readings and kind of, you know, translate it to LinkedIn, but I don't go super deep because I don't know all of it yet.
No, but that's all good. You know, it starts with an interest and it starts with being a fan. And that's where you can build, and your knowledge is LinkedIn. And it's important to know enough from, well, any concept, but in this case, the human design concept, to be able to use it for LinkedIn and for your target audience. And I absolutely love it that you are so specific on the people that you want to work with. And it's so often that we work with who we are, right? With our own client profile. But then us from 3 or 4 years ago.
Exactly. We're just that little bit ahead.
Yeah.
And we can just fast track them.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you look at your journey so far, what is the biggest struggle that you have overcome?
Ooh, it's an ongoing struggle. It's mindset. It really is. And I think I've, you know, to help me along the way, I've enlisted the help of your coaches, consultants. I've even had a bit of hypnosis along the way. Money blocks, because I know a lot of empaths struggle with charging their worth, or, you know, just wanting to help everyone. And I had to kind of do a little bit of rewiring there, that yes, I am allowed to charge, because you know, not everybody can do what I do. So yeah, like hypnosis, just constant like self-development. And it's one of those things, yeah, I have to keep on track. So it's all about, for me, just being in that best energy and making sure I stick to like good daily routine and, you know, do a good walk every day, not get stuck to my desk, which I am guilty of, and you might be the same. If I get in the swing, suddenly I'm like, oh my God, I've been sat for 3 hours and I've had back surgery, so I can't do this. Like I need to like move. So for me, it's just about keeping up that vibration and you know, trying to be as healthy as I can. And that helps the mindset, because obviously if the exercise dips or the diet dips because the exercise dipped, it's all a bit of a spiraling circle. So yeah, just trying to keep and realizing that that's like important. And I think when I first started in my business, it was all about the productivity, do this, do that, do this, do that. And I didn't really think about the personal side of it and my health or my mental well-being or my physical well-being. It was kind of like push on through and do the work and get those leads. Now it's all about having a balance, really. But yeah, the mindset has been definitely the biggest thing. I'm quite good with it now, but at the start, I suppose you just don't know what you don't know. And I've had that imposter syndrome because of my story of being an accidental business owner and then being a front. So that was deep within me. Nobody knew, you know, nobody knew. And I didn't think that first year in business, I won awards. Yeah, because I know how to position myself. You know, I won the award social media influencer, and I was thinking, oh my God.
Yeah.
Painting by numbers here. I'm making this up as I'm going along. Yeah. So I think, yeah, I had that. I had to really connect to my why and my values and say, you're not an imposter. You've been networking for a long time. Let's link it all together.
Yeah.
Then I was like, okay. But yeah, the mindset, that would be the biggest struggle. And I think boundaries as well, as an empath, I've had to get over that, you know. And obviously the people pleasing part of me wants everybody to be happy, but my boundaries weren't always there at the start. So I'm a lot better at saying no now, and if something feels off, just trust my gut, trust my intuition. Whereas in the past, you kind of like want every opportunity, do everything, and then meet some unsavories along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I can relate to the stories that you just shared. You know, it's so relatable, and so for so many people, that you just stumble across things that you're like, oh wait a minute, this works, okay, great. And you make it up as you go along. And that's especially when I look at my first 5 years, it's now almost 13 years. My first 5 years were exactly that. It was like, I'm just winging it. No clue what I'm doing. Really no clue what I'm doing.
Yeah.
but like you said, you know, at some point you get the imposter syndrome, and that's, I think that's the one in our profiles that is very strong on, oh, but you need more knowledge, you need more experience, you need more credentials, you need more whatever. But I didn't know at the time. So especially when I look back now on my human design journey, it's been in my life now for 5 years. But the first 3.5 years, I didn't speak about it because I thought I needed more knowledge. I needed more information, more, I don't know, training, experience. So the one in us is, I would say, triggering the imposter syndrome.
Definitely. It's good and bad. I think it's good because we want the knowledge and we take the knowledge so that we're not talking out of our ass.
Exactly.
So we definitely can talk the talk and walk the walk. But like you say, then the bad is, you're never going to know everything. and we never can. One person cannot know everything in the world.
No.
So it's that, like, I suppose we've got that thirst for knowledge, but then saying, do you know what? I don't know everything, and what I know is good enough. So that has been a struggle for me, and kind of saying, do you know what? You don't have to be perfect. What you know probably trumps like a big percentage of people. You know that little bit more, and that's enough. So just having that acceptance that you don't have to do all the courses. You don't need to buy all the things. And sometimes it's actually just go into that three part of our design, and actually we've got the knowledge. Now let's go and tinker and do a trial and error.
Play with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's play with it and see what happens and experiment and test and try. And yeah, sure, we'll fail, but we have to get back up again and then we'll just continue. And I think that's the charm and the beauty of being a 1-3 generator. So looking at this, and I'm particularly interested to hear your take on this because we have a similar design. Because that's a topic that I talk a lot about on this podcast with my guests. The definition of success, and especially in the online world, and especially when we look on LinkedIn, there are so many definitions of success, but many of them have to do with money, status, number of employees, number of years in business, etc. What would you say would be your definition of success?
For me, it's freedom. Just freedom. Freedom to be myself, freedom to work anywhere I want, flexibility, freedom to not work one day if I don't want to. For me, it's not a monetary number. I think they're nice for goals, but I'm not led by a figure. I think I feel successful when I'm making an impact on my clients as well, and when they're having an aha moment, or they're getting leads on LinkedIn, or they're just falling in love with it. That to me is success. So it's ultimately freedom and making an impact, I would say. They're the two, really. I'm
I
not
love
somebody
that.
who's ever going to be leading with the six figure, seven figure, eight figure. And I get, there's nothing wrong with being prosperous. There's nothing wrong with having money, but
No.
it doesn't drive me at all. And scaling doesn't drive me at all. I don't want a big team. I love that freedom of just being me. And I've got some associates and I've got an amazing VA, and that's enough for me. Whereas if I was to have a big team, that to me would be super stressful, and the freedom would be gone because I'm in charge of them. So yeah, I don't want to scale. I just want to be the best version of me and have a nice work-life balance and just have a nice life with my husband. That's it, really.
I love that. I love it that you just said, I don't want to scale.
No, I don't want to scale.
I love that. I love that. But it's so refreshing because so many people are teaching you and us, in the online business world, like, oh, you should grow, you should scale, and you should up level, and you should do whatever. And you just said, I don't want to scale.
No, that's not for me.
Thank
Honestly,
you.
that is
Me
not
neither.
for me. That's my idea of hell. That is just like stress. It's like, oh no, thanks. I'd rather be the best version of me. And if I like, if I'm at six figures or high, six figures, amazing. Why would I want to go to seven figures and eight figures and have a team of staff, and then you pay all their salaries, and actually you're coming out with the same salary that you were at when you were on your own with your little affiliates or your VA? It just makes no sense to me. And I
For
suppose it's
sure.
that kind of status thing, and like we've scaled and we're doing this, but yeah, it doesn't appeal to me
I
whatsoever.
love it. I love it. I love it. So, if you would have to give our listeners your top three lessons that you learned, what would they be?
I think the first is definitely know yourself. Do a deep dive into who you are, because I know when I left corporate, I didn't really know who I was, because when you're an employee, you don't go as deep with personal development as you do in the business world. And when you go for the interview, you learn the values of the company, you say them in the interview, then you forget them, and then you don't really focus on yourself. So I had to really dig deep as to actually, what the hell do I stand for? And that really helped me so much. And then, in terms of like, even discovering human design, your energy, I think the more you know yourself, the better. So, yeah, really get to know yourself. Second tip, I think if you're a business owner, is like do your market research, because it's just so priceless and it's worth it. And I know initially I was a bit hesitant to do market research in my business. I think it was that imposter syndrome, like, oh, I want to ask people their opinion on things, but do I really want to know? That kind of a thing. But it's so invaluable, and it just really helps you in terms of what to give your audience, and you get to hear it in their words as opposed to imagining what you think they want. And they might want something completely different that is super easy for you. So yeah, I think the more you can do your market research, just the easier you make your life, you know. Yeah. So I recently did some, and it's just, I'm always learning, and it's just super, super, and it gives you more confidence because you feel like, okay, I've done this bit of research, and then you can make products and services based on that, and you know that it should work. Yeah. It should work. Rather than in the start, I was like, oh, I'm going to create this and they're going to want that. And then it was like, no, we don't want that. I want this. So, and I think that the last tip is like that basically you are good enough. Just as we said in this conversation, just realize lots of people are winging it and you don't have to be perfect. You just have to like try your best, and nothing really is ever failing. I know I had a real block about failing when I came into the business world, because you're not taught to fail in school. You're taught to, like, you know, succeed in school, in university, in your job. But then you become a business owner and it's like, oh my God, so many little failures. And, you know, you have to build your resilience and, you know, go again and again and again. And I think you just have to reframe failure as, you know, get rid of that fear, and basically the acronym FEAR, FEAR, change that to feeling excited and ready, and just be ready to never think of it as a failure. Just be ready to try, you know, be ready to try things. And some things work and some things don't. And the things that don't, it's always a learning lesson and it will take you somewhere. But yeah, I know I struggled with that kind of failure concept at the start, and that's what blocks a lot of people. So just be willing to say bye-bye to fear. And, you know, you've heard all the cliches, all the good stuff is at the end of your comfort zone, and it really is. And usually the thing or whatever it is not half as bad as you imagine in your head. So especially even LinkedIn, the amount of people who are terrified to post, and I'm like, please, it's just human beings. Communication tool, it's not something to be scared of. Like, it's literally it's not rocket science, do you know what I mean? But I think so many people, they're just afraid to fail, and just realize there's no such thing as failure, really. It's just literally, it's more, for me, it's more how sad it is if you don't try. That's the ultimate failure for me, you know. That is just missed opportunity. And so don't be afraid to put yourself out there and adopt the tree from our human design, borrow it now and again, and try things out, because only by trying will you really find out what lights you up. And, you know, I was doing everything at the start of my business, social media, all the platforms, and even with LinkedIn, offering all the services, you know, I'll do this. Now I only offer three. And they're the ones that spark joy. So yeah, try things and then you'll just, it will all fall into place.
Yeah. Oh, I love them. I love this so such great tips, because it's so true. It's so true. And it resonates so much. And especially when you're listening and you have a three in your profile, the failing bit is part of your design, and it's not failure. You've just found a way that doesn't work. That's all it is. That's all it is. And I'm not the one who said that. It was Thomas Edison who said that. I haven't failed, I just have found 100,000 ways that don't work. That's what he said. And that's exactly it. So there's no such thing as failure, they're just lessons. The only thing is, our ego doesn't like the failure, and it's like, oh, we're just, you know, we're awful and I'm a loser, or, you know, any negative label that we can put on ourselves. But it's just part of business. And what you see on the outside, and I fully agree with you, you know, so many people are just winging it.
Yeah.
We don't know.
I think most people are winging it. That's it. But they're afraid to say that they are. I'm happy to say it. You know, like you were saying about the definitions of success and stuff, like people would have looked at me in my first year in business, which is successful, she's winning awards, but was I generating ideal clients? No, I wasn't. There was no substance. So, you know, lots of people are winging it. You know, I think, well, I'm still winging it. Like, I'm enjoying the ride. Like, I don't think you're ever going to get to that stage of it. And it's funny now, I look back and, you know, if you said to me, you have to go back and get a job. Now that would be my idea of hell, because I've got into this entrepreneur lifestyle and now I can't even leave the old person that I was, that was happy to do the 9 to 5 and sitting up. I'm like, how the hell were you that person? And I suppose just realizing that we're always evolving and we're never going to be 100% ready or perfect. So yeah, just embracing that and think, you know, realizing you are good enough. Like you, I say one thing all my clients have in common is mindset block at the start. So I have to do a bit of like touchy-feely counseling with them to say you are good enough and your business is good enough and, you know, people need to hear from you and people need your service. And you have to just really lean into that, the fact that you are good enough, and you really need to just get out there and toot your horn, because I think that's a real block. All my clients are women, so I don't know if it's more of a block for women than men, but that's the first block they have before we even get to the LinkedIn side of things.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes, absolutely. I can fully understand that. And it's so important that we acknowledge that we, first of all, we have the block. And because when we acknowledge that it's there, then we can start dealing with it. And those blocks is not like, oh, we're going to solve them and they're gone forever, because every level has a new devil. So the lessons will be coming back to you. So when you have a certain limiting belief or, you know, a saboteur or whatever, it will come back to you every now and again. But it's so important that we learn how to deal with it and drop the illusion that we can really get rid of it. We can, it's no use to fight it. It's like embracing an old friend, like, all right, sit next to me, sit next to me, and we're going to wing this together.
I love that.
I think that's a very important lesson that I learned over the past years. Instead of fighting the limiting beliefs, just embracing them and inviting them as an old friend, like, okay, let's do this together. You're not going away. I'm not going away. So let's collaborate.
I love that. I know a lot of people say to give that kind of voice in your head a name, you know, as well.
Yeah.
Kind of go, oh, well, negative Nancy is back again. No offense to any Nancy. So that just came to my head. Just alliteration. But you know what I mean? It's like, okay, Nancy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, I love this. I love this. Thank you so much, Jen, for sharing your journey and all your lovely wisdom. And we're going to be sharing all your details in the show notes, so people will be able to connect with you and find you on LinkedIn, obviously. And thank you so much for sharing.
Thanks for having me. It's lovely chatting to you. Yeah, I love everything to do with human design. So love what you do. And obviously I love your energy because it's very similar to mine.
Well, they always say opposites attract, but like-minded people attract too. Absolutely. All right. Thank you so much, Jen.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Design Your Success podcast. If you would like to be a guest, make sure to go to our website, www.nicolinahuizinga.com.